Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I can't tell you how good I feel regarding what the heck's going on with Republic Review and what's going on in Wyoming and what's going on everywhere else as we start getting this message out. I want to let you know that it seems like 2024 is probably critical mass, and it seems like we have a good likelihood of getting several states in a position for 2020 if we can hit the ground running and moving forward. So with that, let me throw this out here. If you want to get involved, if you live in a red state, especially a dark red state, let us know. Send us an email, because we are coming your direction. And I am hoping, I am praying that we can get the blue states to heavily invest in the red states. You know, when I look at the millions and millions of dollars going into the state legislative races in California, and I look at all the money going into New York and some places like that, that money would go very, very far and would have a much better impact in these dark red states. And I say that because the dark red states are our hope. You can elect some guy just because he's a Republican, or some gal just because she's a Republican, doesn't mean they're going to save your state. They're going to be outnumbered, and you might as well, because bottom line, if you have little bastions, and you do in Riverside County in California and other small little bastions and counties, you've got those areas. Why is it that you would spend any extra money on, you know, trying to convert and trying to win over a heavily dominated blue area? It's one thing to put up a challenger, and it's one thing for a challenger to have a smart strategy. But spending a lot of money, to me, is folly, because it's not going to have an impact at this point. We're so close to capitulating. We need America to invest in the heartland, because it, like I said yesterday, and you need to listen to my show yesterday as I talked about the good news that came out of Wyoming. So we need to get heavily invested in these dark red states. Now, let me just say this. You are listening to the only show that is going to provide you with the information and some strategies. I mean, if you've got ideas, bring them on. I mean, we're completely open. As a matter of fact, there were a lot of good ideas that came out of the meeting on Saturday after the Wyoming convention, or I should say the Central Committee meeting. I will also say that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And with that, let me just kind of plow forward. If you are in a position where you can't stream this show, the listen number line is 605-562-4209. That means if you've got a cell phone and you call that number, you will be able to listen to this show during its airing time. So no matter where you go, if you're traveling or what have you, all you got to do is call in and you can listen and hear the entire show. That's one way. You don't have to worry about streaming with your handheld device or what have you. So it's a way to save data or what have you. Please make sure you listen to all these shows, because as we provide updates and information, things are going to be happening quickly. And it's not happening fast enough for me, but there's no doubt in my mind that things are moving forward. Let me just say this as well, because I kind of noticed in the news, it seems like the Democratic candidates, and it seems like Democrats, period, are claiming Obama they're claiming that Obama deserves the credit. But how long was it? It was almost a full campaign. It was almost the full first 4 years, the first full term of Obama, where he said, "I didn't do this. I inherited this mess. I inherited this mess. That performance isn't mine." And so, what? How can he claim that he didn't have any impact on the economy for the first 4 years, but now he's claiming when he's not in office, he's going to claim an impact? Come on. Policies have significantly changed, and that has had a huge change. As a matter of fact, go look at the years on the Dow Jones and different stocks and so forth, and you will find that as Trump was coming up and looked like Trump was going to win, things were looking up, and as soon as Trump won, it just took off. That is a direct result of changing from a socialist and or a communist in the White House to somebody that understands capitalism, period. So I just think the consistency is completely obvious, or the lack of consistency, actually. They fail to point out that, if at the very beginning of the term one has full responsibility of their presidency, then Obama should have taken full responsibility for his first few years as well. So anyway, I want to move on, and I'm going to move on. I want to grovel a little bit. We have this Red State Coffee. We want you to give it a try, especially those that got to have your coffee, got to get your Joe. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. You'll be able to find the link to Red State Coffee and get yourself a pound. Get yourself 10 pounds. Start trying this coffee and then call in and you tell me how good this coffee is. Because what I'd like to do is we'd like to run listener ads of people that are saying, hey, this is great, or whatever you think of this coffee. We need your help, and this is one way you can help. Another way you can help is, I very rarely do this, but you can buy the books that are out there on Mobi Strip Press, or actually you can find them on Amazon. Just look for G.R. Mobley, and you will find my books. That's one way you can support us. Another way you can support us is directly through the crowdfunding on GoFundMe. And another way, and the most important way, is reaching out, sending us an email saying, hey, I'm doing this. I'd like to help. I'd like to get involved. I've got these resources. I live here. This is my county. I don't need your address. Just tell me what town, what county you live in, and maybe we can get you started with either somebody else already in your state in a different county, same county, or what have you. But we'd want to help you help save the Republic. I don't think that there is a better cause at this point in time, because life will change when we lose our Constitution and when we lose our constitutional republic. Two other organizations I highly recommend, as you know, constitutionclub.ning, ning.com. Go sign up, become a member, and go check out the ourfirstright.org out there on the internet, ourfirstright.org, and look up what these folks are doing and look at, what they're trying to do. They're trying to amend the Constitution with an amendment that Madison wrote. It's worthy of your time and effort. Get involved. Find a way to get involved. Another way you can get involved is Constitution Day. What are you going to do? How are you going to lead your local area in recognizing the Constitution on September 17th this year? Send us a note to let us know how you're doing that. And another way you can get involved is by just doing what you're doing now, listening in, getting the information, getting the updates, and getting the word out. Help other people find this solution. Help other people understand what the heck Republic Review is. It's more than just auditing the Constitution. It starts with an audit, and then it's basically the judge and jury of the states coming together exercising their authority and power in deciding what they want done in getting compliance, and then pushing that up to, or actually down to, Congress, so that Congress will either obey or they will pay the consequences. And we can get into the consequences later, but let me just say this, that the states have all the authority necessary to do this. As I always do, I happen to scan the news. There is no news that the federal government is going to get rid of and set aside, dismantle, and or disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers that have not been delegated to it by the states. What that means is you and I are going to have to do it. We're going to have to get them to get rid of all of this unconstitutional government. The only process in doing that is republic review. It's going into the audit, getting states to come together, and getting the power of the states to let them, and actually, you know, force them, if necessary, to dismantle all of these unconstitutional powers. How great would that be? How much more would our life be better off, right? And so I actually ran out of time, but when we come back, before I get into Red Pill Expo and talking about that, I want to talk about a few things that are happening in the news that I think is really important. And then we will get into the Red Pill Expo in Hartford, Connecticut. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
So I think it's interesting that Microsoft has injected itself in offering election security applications and or software and support. I want you to understand that they are a globalist progressive company, and they do not care about American sovereignty. They are ideologues, the people that run that company, the people that are obscenely rich. And there's nothing wrong with being obscenely rich until you want to change the laws and the the game that you use to get to the top so that nobody can ever compete with you, Bill Gates. And so George Soros, all of these globalist billionaires want to keep anybody else from entering into their realm. And there's no doubt in my mind that we cannot trust a company like Microsoft with the integrity of our elections. I don't think we need to use software. I do not think that that is... what I think is we need to start using ID, ensuring that the person that is casting the vote is able to, you know, walk up and prove themselves, or if not, because that's how it was in the beginning. You had to be proven. You had to be recognized by that. If that sheriff didn't recognize you back in 1787, then you couldn't vote. If you were new to the land, you'd be better go introduce yourself and have the sheriff over for dinner or what have you, so that that sheriff recognizes you not only as a person that you know, is living in the county, but as a person who can vote because they had very good controls over who could vote. So it's really important that we get back to, because I don't care if it takes a day or two to count for elections to be finalized. I think it is far more important that we have election integrity than we have software companies coming along and counting. There's no reason, and as a matter of fact, I believe it is imperative that we have traceability. I would like to be able to go and see online how my vote was counted on every issue. I don't care if anybody else sees how I voted. I do not care. And if you want your votes to be secret, then I don't care either. Then you won't be able to see your votes. But I want to be able to see and ensure that my vote was cast a specific way, was counted a specific way. And that way, you can go and verify and make sure that yours wasn't thrown one way, because it's the software. It is these types of things that have been manipulated in moving information and moving your votes in a different direction. How many people and how many times have we heard that people voted and the next thing you know, the machine indicated that you voted a different way? That's what software will do. When you put pen to paper and you go, okay, there we go, this is the person I'm voting for, that ink doesn't jump over into the other square. That defies physics. But software can defy you. And so that's why we shouldn't be trusting the electronic means. We shouldn't be. I think that that's why we need to have local controls. We need to have all voting done. I don't care at the cost of it. It's really not that expensive. And in the old days, the people that opened up their garage to actually have the vote or to host voting in their home or in their garage, I'm telling you, they weren't getting paid. So where's all this cost coming from? And as soon as they were done, they put everything together. That was all done by volunteer. Why is it so costly? Anyway, I do not like the idea that Microsoft is trying to enter into this fray. Another thing that I want to point out, because this goes in line with Republic Review, they're finding out that Boeing may have known about these problems with the Max, and they're saying, well, if you knew about it, then that's a problem. Why is it that we're not using that exact same argument? Because the states knew a long time ago when Madison and when Iredell and when all of the framers got up and said, this is how the Constitution is to be interpreted, the states knew. They moved forward with that. And then all of a sudden, people started lying. That's why these founding documents are so important, because they prove that we've been lied to and we've been duped. It proves that these nefarious men and evil players have created a house of cards. I was just talking to a fine gentleman yesterday regarding Anna von Reitz and her, you know, her argument for a sovereign citizen and being able to exclude yourself from this unconstitutional government. My point is, is this is all unconstitutional. As you know, because I've read it, martial law cannot be called without the militia. They are interdependent. You call out the militia, then you can call martial law. You don't call out the militia, you can't call martial law. They are inclusive of each other. They're not exclusive. And so, as Madison pointed out, that there was a dependency on the militia for martial law, then what Abraham Lincoln did, whether he knew it or not, was a violation of the Constitution. And everything that they did was nefarious in creating these corporations. They had no constitutional standing because they did not use the militia. The militia was the defense. And as a matter of fact, Madison points out that his problems with the 1812 war was that the militia was not able to do some of its fighting. And the militia failed here and there. And so he, towards the end of his presidency, started bolstering and pumping money in and reinvigorating the militia because he clearly stated, and he stated at the end of his presidency, the militia is the bulwark of our defenses. And so what happened from Madison to Lincoln? Well, Lincoln wanted things to go a certain way, and he knew that he couldn't get the militia from Vermont to come all the way down to Georgia to kick their butts. They didn't see the need for that. And the reason why they had problems, morale problems, and the reason why they couldn't even win the war is because nobody wanted to continually hold the South over these financial tariffs and so forth. It was just oppressive. People saw the problem as slavery and forcing the South to stay with the Union without abolishing slavery was just, there's some expressions that I can't use on the radio, so I'm trying to come up with, it's like putting an, there's no clean expression for it. So bottom line is that what Lincoln ended up doing was Lincoln violated the terms of the contract, that the states knew that there was to be no standing army. The states knew that there was supposed to be a militia. And even though the states may have been culpable, they could not perform an attack on states, whether they seceded from the Union or not. They could not attack those states. Had to declare war, The intent was to use the militia, and they did not use the militia, and so the militia, martial law could not have been called in the states where martial law was called and the militia was not deployed, period. And so what we have now with Boeing and all of this, you can see this all play out, and I want you to keep mind and keep this in the back of your mind as how they're going, oh, well, you're guilty and culpable of bad playing because you knew about these things. It doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, if you were caught going 70 miles an hour in a 60-mile-an-hour zone and you knew it was 60 miles an hour or you didn't know, it doesn't matter because what would the policeman tell you? Ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law. It's that simple. One other thing I want to get into, and I'm almost out of time already. I don't know if you know this, but June is Pride Month. In other words, somehow the homosexual community has been able to confiscate June as Pride Month. But what I want to do is I want to share my views on a couple of things that they use for marketing. And I want to show you how this is just a poke in the eye at the Judeo-Christian and specifically Christian principles. Now, what the heck is a rainbow? Because the homosexual movement uses the rainbow as their symbol. Huh. Now, wasn't the rainbow a symbol that God gave us that we would not destroy the world over this debauchery of sexual depravity and licentiousness, right? So isn't it ironic that this movement deliberately uses the rainbow? Do you think that they're poking God in the eye? I think it is about as irreverent as one can possibly get, and they're being, I mean, it's about as belligerent as one can think. The other thing is the word pride. Isn't that one of the seven most deadly sins? Isn't that the one thing that, you know, Christ talks about regarding the camel getting through the eye of a needle and the pride of a rich man? You know, why a rich man, it's easier for a camel to get into heaven or go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. And it's all about humility and how pride in itself is a, it's poking Christianity and it's poking the importance of humility and righteousness in the eye. This is an arrogant movement. There is no doubt about it. And I'm telling you, if you haven't started recognizing, just when you start looking at the news, how intolerant they are. They're the epitome of intolerance. I'll just say that. We've got to go because we've got a couple of promos. We'll be right back after this. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And speaking of social justice, it's almost social justice season, right? Isn't it about time for the NFL to start hitting the field and getting all geared up to go support social justice? And start kneeling for the flag and kneeling for the Star Spangled Banner. Isn't it about that time? Well, anyway, I'll tell you what time it is right now. You have literally 1 month away from Red Pill Expo. My apologies for not setting up and getting the recording done for the commercial. I need to get that done, but if you are looking to be a part of one of the most informative lectures or series or expos that are available to you throughout the year, this is it. There is no doubt what G. Edward Griffin put on a couple of years ago, last year, and what he's going to be putting on this year. As a matter of fact, Alex Newman is going to be there. You want to go. Here's a point in time where you actually have the ability to meet, I would say, an all-star group of people in speaking and availing themselves to all of you, because it's like an open forum. I mean, When they're not up on the stage, they're around where you can buy their books and get them signed, buy their DVDs or what have you. Take the time if you live in that area. You will regret not being a part of it, especially as you find out what was said, what was going on, who was there, and so forth. Now, I find it interesting because this is a direct confrontation. I should say this is a direct assault on our constitutional rights, because there are a lot of idiots out there that are claiming that, you know, what we need to do is create a national license for having a gun. And let's be very clear. Having a gun is a right. It is a protected right. Placing a license restriction on gun ownership moves it from being a right to a privilege. It's the same thing with driving a car. You have a right to drive your car. The states have come in and said, well, you can drive your car anywhere but on these roads, because we have built these roads, and these roads are for those who want to, you know, commit commerce or what have you. And so and actually the states have the ability to mandate licensing if it's in their constitution. If it's not in their constitution, to actually control control the movement of commerce and so forth, then they're violating their own constitution. That's why understanding your state constitution is important, because they've assumed a lot of things that they think they can just do when the states have enumerated constitutions as well. And you need to go check your constitution to find out if it's right. But more importantly, this is exactly what you can expect from a communist, and this is what you're hearing from the Democratic Circus Maximus as they're going forward with their march towards the Democratic National Convention, but March sometime next year. So the point being is that people like Cory Booker are playing their cards, and they're showing us that they are going to be tyrannical, and they're going to step on our constitutional rights even further. If you don't think these things are alarming, if you are one of those myopic people that is a Second Amendment supporter, which is unfortunate because you should be a constitutional supporter of everything and demanding compliance to the Constitution, not just a Second Amendment supporter. With that, I will tell you that as soon as those dolts from school move us into a direction where there is no coming back, it is over, because they're already playing their hands. They're going to take away your guns. And as soon as they get to a point where they're no longer encumbered by that Constitution, it's all done. They're going to be going door to door, taking guns. If you have food storage, or if you have anything that they feel they want to outlaw, a generator for being able to, you know, survive, they're going to start creating all sorts of despotic laws. You just wait. There's no doubt in my mind. History even proves this. It's not just here. Look at what Pol Pot did when he seized control. Look at what Stalin did, or actually Lenin and then Stalin. Look at Mao. Every time these despotic communist leaders have taken over, they have exerted despotic powers. And so only government has the ability to kill to that magnitude. Now, let me get on to some of these other important things, such as hyperbolic rhetoric. One of the things that has really got my ire are people that are out, progressives that are out trying to shout people down and trying to threaten people for their political views and so forth. I saw a friend who posted some information regarding somebody threatening them to say, I'm going to keep every copy of your post so I can use this next time your husband runs for re-election. And what that person is doing is they're communicating a threat. I mean, it's one thing for somebody to just go off and do that, but when you communicate a threat, then that's something different, especially if what you're doing, and to me, what that is, if you understand the difference, if you're actually in an argument and you haven't gone to, you know, fist to cuffs, but if you threaten somebody that you're going to beat the tar out of them, you have already violated the law, because that is considered a violation of assault. Assault is not battery. Battery is when that person's actually laid hands on you. When they threaten you with bodily harm, that's considered assault. So when somebody is threatening to harm you, whether it be physical or whether it be political or whatever, if they're threatening you, then they are trying to use a threat to get you to change your behavior. In other words, they're using this threat as extortion. To me, that is against the law. Now, put this or couple this with label lynching, because what they're doing is, even without proving that you're a white supremacist, even without proving that you're a racist, even without proving that you're a man. I know that sounds silly, but because you're a man, that means you're a misogynist. Well, you know, and I've already pointed out, because you're a woman, I guess you're a misandrist, right? Because that's the opposite of a misogynist. What they're doing is they're label lynching. And what they are doing is, as far as I'm concerned, crossing the line of civility. Now, I've had friends that have, like Northwest Grassroots, the good folks that run that organization, have been extorted and have been shut down from being able to operate in informing people. These people have provided great information for all sorts of people in the local area. What they do is they have movie night, and they put together presentations that are very informative of what's going on with local issues. They're probably the biggest contributors to good information for the local people. Well, they got label lynched because they had somebody that came up, and it doesn't matter whether they liked the guy or not liked the guy. There was no evidence that these people knew, that Northwest Grassroots knew, that this person was a white supremacist at all. And as a matter of fact, there is still really no evidence other than there's an association to, I forget the name of it, identity politics. That's what they call them. And there's a specific usage. But these guys came right out and said that they're not white supremacists. They're not looking to be separatist. What they want is they want to quit the propaganda and trying to use white guilt and how the progressives have been making. So it's an evil thing. It's a bad thing to be white. It's not a bad thing. And so they're using that pride word. They're proud to be white. And so they're trying to change the paradigm in basically saying, hey, you know, in the 60s, there was this big movement of being proud to be black, being proud to be whatever you were. But all of a sudden, what instantly came around from that was, well, you should be ashamed that you're white. And no, we should all be, if you want to say proud, but if you want to say there's nothing wrong with being human. Because bottom line, that's what it is. That's the same thing as a certain life matters or all lives matter. So anyway, on top of this, you know, there is this extortion and these other things. If you know somebody in law enforcement, you need to start waking them up. Because as far as I'm concerned, what they're doing is they're using vigilantism. They may not be killing you with a noose, but they're running around trying to hang your good name. They're trying to besmirch you. In the old days, this right here would be cause for you to call them out for a duel. Because what they're doing is they're discrediting your good name. And what they're doing is they're getting away with actually libeling you. They're getting away with defaming you by calling you these things. And so, as far as I'm concerned, we need to start attuning ourselves, because this is uncivil behavior. This is very aggressive, and this is very bad. So I had made comment to this person that put this post up last night, and I'll stand by it. Extortion and vigilantism is illegal. If a crime has been committed, if somebody is guilty of something, then they need to press charges. But if what they're doing is legal, then go away. There's nothing illegal about being white. I'll be back after this. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so there was a lot of talk in Wyoming regarding some of the crap that the Democrats are playing. And one of the things that they are playing, forgive my French for saying crap, but anyway, the New York Attorney General is suing the IRS for Trump's tax records. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to do an end run. What they're also trying to do is they're trying to besmirch the president like he's violating the law. There is no law in existence in the federal elections rules that you have to disclose your taxes. What would happen if all of a sudden they passed a law that said, hey, all elections moving forward, you have to disclose all of your tax information. Why don't they go after a Article 5 amendment and say all federal elections, any federal candidate, you have to disclose your taxes? Well, they're not doing that because what they want to do is they just want to go after him exclusively. Because he hasn't done it, they are going after him exclusively because they definitely don't want you. Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Kathy McMorris Rodgers, they do not want you to see how they're making their money. They want to keep their tax records hidden. They just want to demand for the president. And so, really, if you start looking at what happens, because the president is in his first term and by all rights can run again, there are plain shenanigans to keep him off the ballot because he has not disclosed, his taxes. The only way you can create, because you got to understand the election of the president and the parameters for presidential election is a constitutional standing. Article 2 identifies the process of how to elect the president along with the 12th Amendment. We've gone over this. It states the age and all of the parameters. If you want to demand that the all candidates running for president must disclose. That is a constitutional amendment. So they're trying to skirt the Constitution and say, we want to sue you and use the court systems in bypassing this. So I want to be clear. When FDR was running for presidency and was in his third term, and they amended the Constitution and limiting the presidency to two terms, did they kick him out of office because he had already gone over his two-term limit? No, because that would have been an ex post facto law. Ex post facto laws are restricted by the U.S. Constitution. States cannot even pass an ex post facto law. And for them to come along and try to inject a law, first off, it's unconstitutional because the Constitution dictates parameters for the eligibility of a president. So bottom line, what they're trying to do is create an ex post facto law to go after him, even though they don't have any jurisdiction. This is how frustrated and how upset they are that they're not able to move their agenda forward underneath him. Now, let me move into what Ron Chernow did last week and how Ron, actually last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, how Ron Chernow was absolutely the wrong person to have. I mean, he's the champion for the left, but he was absolutely wrong in what he was saying and what he's doing. And he actually proves this propaganda machine and how evil this is. So Ron Chernow actually came right out. And some of the things he said during his speech of the correspondence dinner, the press dinner at the White House, we now have to fight hard for basic truths that we once took for granted. Are you kidding me? They have hidden, the press has hidden the truths for a long time. And as a matter of fact, Ron Chernow was one that hid the truth and obfuscated reality in many of his supposedly historical books. He made Alexander Hamilton look like a decent guy. Alexander Hamilton lied out of both sides of his mouth. He did not align with the rest of the framers. He came right out during the Constitutional Convention and says, we need a king. I don't support any of this. And then when he came back and was listening to the compromises and so forth, he says, well, I don't agree with what you're doing, but at least I'll say this, that you should allow these powers to be there. The point is that Alexander Hamilton did everything he could to speak out of both sides of his mouth, and he did everything he could to undermine the Constitution. He should have actually been charged with treason with some of the things that he was doing. And Ron Chernow did not expose that. And when you go watch Hamilton, you think, and they've been able to obfuscate the reality of Hamilton, of how bad of a player he really was. He was a smart guy, there's no doubt. And he did some good things, no doubt. But he deliberately tried to undermine and subvert the Constitution. And the fact that all of this rhetoric was coming out of Chernow's mouth only proves that he is nothing but a revisionist historian, because that's all he is. Now, one of the things that I wanted to also point out, he also said this. He said to everybody in attendance, he said that we're Team USA, not members of the enemy camps. Are you kidding me? This propaganda machine has been working against us for decades. And as a matter of fact, Chernow depicted, you know, all of this with his Hamilton. I mean, he has revised the truth to trying to make Hamilton look like a good guy. He is an ideologue, and like I said, he is a revisionist. The fact is that the press is the enemy, and more specifically, the mainstream media is an enemy. I'll even go as far as to say this. Even Fox National News is hiding important truths and is culpable for being complicit in keeping a narrative. They do not allow certain things to be mentioned on their show, like Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and so forth, and some of the globalist movements that are going on. They do not expose any of this. And this only serves to push a narrative. We are being buried by complete control of information in our news media. Where are you getting real, legitimate information? And so when somebody comes, oh, well, show me in a legitimate news source, and then you come up with this real, you know, real objective, struggling news media outlet that's local down in some town, oh, well, that's not CBS or CBS. They have moved the bar to where the culpable propaganda machine is the only supposedly reliable source. Are you kidding me? So let's get honest here. The globalists have been emboldened, and as a matter of fact, this emboldenment occurred decades ago, and it was in 1991 or 92 when David Rockefeller let the world know the following. He said, "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. He goes on and says, "It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government." I'm not making this up. This is what he said, and you can find this actually in his memoirs. But he actually stated this to the Trilateral Commission in 1991, like I was saying. And he goes on and says, supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world banks is surely preferable to the national auto-determination practiced in the past centuries." Are you kidding me? The end goal, this is what Nick Rockefeller says, the end goal is to get everybody chipped to control the whole society, to have the bankers and the elite people control the world. Yeah, like I said, I can't make this crap up. And there's no doubt in my mind that the media, even Fox News, has been culpable in moving a propaganda, an agenda down our throat. I have told you, and I can prove to you, states have the ability to, if you want to say censor, or actually regulate and set standards for news media. States need to start doing this. You need to have this dialogue. Anybody that wants to tell you it's unconstitutional, I will ask you to show me in the Constitution where the freedom of the press in the U.S. Constitution is guaranteed by the states. It's not in the 14th Amendment, and the First Amendment is only applied to the federal government. States could have, a long time ago, until the 14th Amendment, taken away your right to have guns. They could have taken away some of your rights and privileges. But the 14th Amendment applied individual privileges and individual immunities from the Bill of Rights down to the states. And now the states can't do those things. But it doesn't include organizational or institutional rights. With that, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. So God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.